This podcast is a ministry of Oriole Christian Assembly in Chicago, Illinois. For more information, please visit our website at www.oriolechristianassembly.org.
Okay, so the word Sukkot, what does it mean? Well, it means booths today, okay? Booths. A tabernacle, a booth, okay? The significance of that, and we're going to look at it in a moment in Leviticus 23, is that in biblical days, as well as modern days, meaning today, Jewish people build temporary dwellings or booths, and they eat, sometimes sleep in them for a week during Sukkot, okay? This is what they do. And it says here, they do it to remember and to celebrate God's provision and dwelling with the children of Israel in the wilderness wandering. So it's based again on what they went through in the Old Testament when they were in the wilderness for 40 years. God was with them and they were in booths. They were in tents. So this is to remember. You know, I think that's a good thing for us today, to sometimes remember, where did we come from, right? Where did God take me from? Where was I 5 years ago? Where was I 10 years ago, 30 years ago? And see where God has brought you now. We need to remember those times of where we were and how God has been good to us and where we are today. Amen. So I want to look at Leviticus 23. I have a few different scriptures today to just review. I'm not really going to preach or teach long. In Leviticus, we see much explanation of the feast, but we're just going to stay on the one today, which is tabernacles. In Leviticus 23, we're going to look at verses 33 to 44. So Leviticus 23:33 to 44 are the verses. It says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, The 15th day of the 7th month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. On the first day shall be a holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein." So these days of feasting were no one worked. It was all about the Lord. Set apart for the Lord. I wish we could do that. Amen. It would be special. It says, 7 days you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Did you hear that? Every day they had to have an offering. It was a fire offering. Every day they came. It says, on the 8th day, it's going to be a holy convocation unto you. A holy convocation. A holy assembly on the 8th day they were going to come together. Amen. And you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It is a solemn assembly. Every day God's people were expected to bring Him an offering. These are the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, to offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord, a burnt offering and a meat offering. We like those offerings, meat offerings. You didn't catch that. Some did. Amen. Who likes meat offerings? Johnny, you like meat offerings. I know you do. He likes to do damage, he says. Amen. So they had all kinds of offerings. Amen. Burnt offerings, meat offerings, a sacrifice, drink offerings. We like those too. Drink offerings, right? Everything upon this day, all these different offerings. Can you imagine that? I'm grateful we don't have to go through those things anymore, right? That was the Old Testament. They did all that. Also, in the 15th day of the 7th month, when you have gathered in the fruit of the land, see, here it is again, you shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days. On the first day shall be a Sabbath, and on the 8th day shall be a Sabbath. So here it is, 8 days of them assembling. It says, and you shall take you on the first day the boughs of goodly trees, branches of palm trees and the boughs of thick trees and willows of the brook. And you shall Rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. There it is again. What are you going to do? Rejoice. Amen. We serve a God of rejoicing, right? And you shall keep it a feast unto the Lord 7 days in the year. It shall be a statue forever. Somebody say forever. It shall be a statue forever in your generations. You shall celebrate it in the seventh month. You shall dwell in booths 7 days. All that are Israelites born shall dwell in booths. So see, we don't have to go into booths. We're not Israelites. But they are doing that. They still do that. Amen. He says, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. And Moses declared unto the children of Israel the feast of the Lord. Okay? So this is something that has been going on for years. Amen. The Jewish people are doing this. Amen. And we have a part to play with it also. Okay? I'm happy that God looks at us to also be involved. Okay? Maybe not to the extent that the Jewish people are, but we are involved too. So I want to talk just a few moments the prophetic significance also of this feast. There's a prophetic significance of Sukkot. Okay? It should not be overlooked. The rabbis taught that one day God would pour His Holy Spirit on Israel. How many know that? That's in Joel 2:28. We're not going to go there. But it's also in John 7. We're going to go there in a moment. It says in John 7, we read the seventh day of Sukkot, Yeshua, the Messiah, relates the outpouring of water to Himself and the water of eternal life that He gives. His Jewish audience would have made the connection immediately. See, they would understand what He was saying, Jesus, to them when He was at the feast in John 7, okay? So, we see here too that there's more to it, but let's look at what he said here to them in John 7. So let's go to John 7, because Jesus here was at the Feast of Tabernacles in the book of John. And this was actually the last day, the verses we're going to look at here in chapter 7, verses 37 to 39. John 7, 37, it says, in that last day, the great day of the feast. See, it was a great day. The feast days were great days, amen. There were times of rejoicing, celebration. It says, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Anybody thirsty today? Amen. I'm not talking of natural drink. I'm talking spiritually, right? That's who he's talking to them spiritually. He said, are you thirsty today? Come and drink. Amen. How many know when you come to church, you can drink of the Lord's Spirit? Amen. He said, he that believes on me, as the Scripture had said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Amen. Symbolic of what? The Holy Spirit in our lives, right? God wants us to have what? Rivers of living water. Rivers. You know how rivers never end. The water continues to move, right? There's life in rivers, right? Well, we have this spiritual life in us through Jesus, right? Through the baptism of the Holy Spirit he's talking about here. He says then to them, but this spake he of the Spirit which they that believe on him should receive. How many believe today? All right, then you're going to receive. If you haven't, you still need to. Amen. He said, all who believe will receive if you want to. It says, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given because that Jesus was not yet glorified. But he's been glorified now for over 2,000 years. Amen. Amen. And rivers are still flowing. Right? The river of God, the river of life continues to flow. And Jesus was telling the Jewish people here, I'm that river. Amen. I'm your life. Just as he in the Old Testament brought them what they needed naturally, the crops. They looked to him for the rain. Amen. The Old Testament talks about the latter rain and the former rain. But today, we're talking spiritually, amen, that we need the rain of the Lord in our lives. Can I get a witness here, right? We need the Holy Spirit active. We need Him working in us, right? And Jesus tells them, I'm your life. I'm your water today. Amen. I'm the one who takes care of you and gives you what you need, not only physically, but spiritually here. So the prophetic significance is awesome. It's about Jesus, everything. The feast, all the feasts of the Lord, they all relate and refer to Jesus. Okay? Very significant to us today, even though we may not be Jewish people, there's much significant for us here. Okay? How about future? I'm talking about now, but how about a future significance? How about the future millennial kingdom that's going to come? How many are looking forward to that? We have a future, right? And there's going to be a kingdom that's never gonna pass, right? When He comes back for us. If you go with me to Zechariah 14, we'll read a few verses there. These are very important scriptures also. Zechariah So here we see that Yeshua, Jesus, who is God in the flesh, He dwells with us, and He will be the ultimate fulfillment of tabernacles. See, the feast that He fulfills it. When He comes back for us, He will completely fulfill what the Feast of Tabernacle is. And that's so awesome today. Amen. So we see this as we all will dwell with Him in the future millennial kingdom that we read about here in Zechariah 14. Okay, so let's look at this. Zechariah 14, verses 16 to 19. It says, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is left, and this is prophetic, this is talking about the future, okay? Saying, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King. See, this is going to happen when Jesus comes back too. Okay, it's prophetic. It says from one year to year, going to come and worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and we're going to do what? Keep the Feast of Tabernacles. So even when His kingdom comes, right? When He comes back for the church, for me and you, this is going to be set up. We're going to continually be celebrating even the Feast of Tabernacles. That's awesome. Verse 17, and it shall be that whosoever will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. See, there's consequences when we don't do what God wants us to do, right? He says here, there's going to be a drought upon the nations or the people who don't come and come to what? The Feast of Tabernacles. How important that is that we understand that now. Amen? Because I need rain. How about you? We've had a drought here lately. How many know that? For the last month plus, we've been like 4 or 5 inches below, I think, what we should have. Thank God we got some rain yesterday. Amen. So we need not only natural rain, but we need spiritual rain. Amen. That's what He's saying here, that there'll be no more rain for those who don't come. I want to be there. How about you today? It says, and if the family of Egypt go not up and come not, that have no rain, there shall be the plague. See? Wherewith the Lord will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. I don't want a plague. How about you? I don't want to be smitten of the Lord. I want to be right where He wants me to be, in the Feast of Tabernacles. Amen. Because God will bless us here. You see that? So this is like a warning to us today that it's so important. He says, this shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Wow. Okay? So this is prophetic for us today of the future, of what's going to happen, how important the Feast of the Lord are, and even this particular feast, the Feast of Tabernacles. Amen. I got one more verse for you. Revelation, I told you I'm not going to go long today because we're going to sing some more. Amen. We're going to pray some more because this is a day really in the Jewish culture during this feast. They don't really preach or teach. They read the Word. So I'm trying to just read it. I get excited reading it, though. they read the word, okay? And then they worship and praise and dance, all right? But in Revelation 21, this is again prophetic for us as the church. Revelation 21:3, it says, "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men." I love that verse. Amen. See, God is our tabernacle today. This is, again, this is just to make you think about it. The arch is symbolic today of what? The tabernacle of God. Here we read that what? The tabernacle of God is with men, with us, okay? When heaven comes, right? He will dwell with us. Amen. How many are looking forward to dwelling with God one day? Forever. You can't take a vacation from God then. How many know that? You're going to be with Him forever. That's going to be awesome. Amen. No more crying, no more pain, no more unpaid bills, no lack in any area, no disease, no sickness. Man, that's exciting for me today. How about you? Right? He says, I'm going to be with you, right? He says, I'm going to dwell with you, and they shall be His people, meaning us, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. Amen. This is what? The tabernacle of God. I'm going to read the next verse. He says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." How many are looking forward to that? You won't have to cry anymore. God's going to wipe away all your tears, right? "There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things are passed away." Amen. This is what, when He comes back for me and you, right? And we are in the tabernacle of God today. Praise God. Wow. This is very important today that we understand the significance, okay? It's, again, a lot of symbolism here, but it's spiritually important for us. We may not do what they do in Israel right now, but symbolically and spiritually we can understand the importance today, and we can celebrate to a point with them like we are today. Amen. So I just wanted to bring you a little bit of information on the feast, okay? I do want to say this. Rose did a real good job on the back of your calendar. If you didn't notice, last month she had information on the feast, and now this month she has it on the Feast of Tabernacles. So read the back of your calendar, okay? She gives more information about Sukkot and about the feast. She has facts here and other scriptures too that, for time's sake, I didn't get into today, and some other applications. So this is good for you to take it and read it at home, okay? So praise God. With that, we're going to have Rose come back, and she has a few more songs for us today. What I do want to say to you as she gets ready to do that is that at the end of the service, after we do some songs now, we're going to have you come up and bring your prayer request, okay? So if you have not filled out a prayer request and you have one today, while we're getting ready for the last part of the service, you have your prayer request cards in the pews, fill them out, and then I'm going to give you opportunity to bring them up, okay? And then we're going to pray for them at the end of the service, your prayer request, okay? Today we need to pray for Angela Clavelli. She called. She fell at home. She hurt herself. She's sore. So we need to pray for her that she would be okay. Amen. But I know there's other requests that we have. We're praying for certain ones who are fighting cancer, different things today. Amen. You know all the needs that we have. So write them down. Okay? You have time to do it now as we get ready to sing. Write your request down. And then I will have you come up at the end of the service and bring them here, and we will pray for your request, and then we will also pray for Israel, for Jerusalem at the end. We're going to do a song at the end to close out the service, okay? So, Rose, take us to more songs. I'm going to ask you, as you do that, then stand with us as we sing together a few more songs to prepare us for the ending. Amen.
As you're writing out your prayer requests, I have this book that I picked up when I was in Wisconsin. It says, "Jesus in the Feasts of Israel, Do you know, in every feast that Israel celebrates, Jesus is the symbol in the feast. And John writes here, in the last days, he gives the last word. I usually like to tell people, close your eyes. If you're done with the prayer request, I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to use your imagination. So, chiudi gli occhi and listen to what I'm reading. John gives this last word. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street, and on either side of the river, was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were like the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads, and there shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. That was Revelation 22:1-5. Jesus Christ alone is our peace, our power, and our rest. With that, you can open your eyes now. And you can stand if you like. Awake, O Israel. Are you Israel? You are the spiritual Israel, in case you didn't know that. Are we doing? Is it open first, right? Open your eyes, O faithful, people. It's a song of good news.